Welcome to the Agent of Wealth podcast with Mark Boutis from Boutis Financial. In this podcast, Mark helps guide you towards financial freedom, ensure you never run out of money, and create a balance in life that prioritizes what is most important to you. Join us for this journey as Mark draws from years of expertise and guest experts to solve the multiple wealth building challenges involved in your financial life.
Welcome back to the Agent of Wealth. This is your host, Mark Boutis. Today, I'm joined by the Boutis Financial team, John, Kira, and Kayla, for another book club discussion. So today, we're going to talk about thinking in bets. And Kayla, this is your pick, so I'm going to pass it off to you.
Thanks, Mark. The full name of the book is Thinking in Bets, Making Smarter Decisions When You Don't Have All the Facts. It's by Annie Duke. And Duke is a former professional poker player. She's won over $4 million in a bunch of World Series of Poker events. Before that, she went to graduate school for cognitive psychology. So she has a lot of experience in high-pressure decision-making situations and also a unique understanding of how people make decisions. I saw this book on a recommended list for financial planners, and I thought it would be an interesting pick. And I thought it was kind of unique because poker is a good example of making decisions because you don't know all the facts. It relies on probability and luck too. I thought like looking at probabilities is something that we often have to do when we're looking at how people are tracking to their goals. So for instance, we could look at someone's retirement goals and then stress test that against 1,000 different trials of market simulations. And then that report could tell us how successful someone will be based on those scenarios alone. So I thought that was kind of unique correlation between the two things. Really, the point of the book is that Duke wants us to become probabilistic thinkers, which we're not naturally wired to do. So she wants us to think of every decision as a bet. And then she also explores some of the different biases that prevent us from making the best decisions. So now I was going to pass it to each of us to talk about a different chapter that we liked. John, I was going to start with you.
Yeah, thanks, Kayla. I picked the first chapter and she really lays a lot of the groundwork and, you know, really just extrapolates what you were just talking about, Kayla, and you know, the concept behind the book and the idea of our decision making and its relationship with the game of poker. The chapter is actually called Poker, Not Chess. The idea is that life is more like a game of poker than it is chess, and gives you some really good examples. I really, really like one of the first things she talks about in the book about Pete Carroll and the Seattle Seahawks. I remember exactly where I was for that Super Bowl in 2015. It's like one of those things where you remember everything, like what was on the table. It was just like this crazy event. And I just cannot stand the New England Patriots. I really wanted them to lose. So I'm just really, really rooting for the Seattle Seahawks to pull this off. But long and short of it is they're on the 2-yard line, and they have one of the best running backs in the league. Pete Carroll decides to throw the ball, and the Patriots intercept the ball, and they end up losing the game. Because Marshawn Lynch, one of the best running backs in the league at the time, you can imagine people were really hard on Pete Carroll. And even I just remember being shocked. Like, you're on the 2-yard line, you have like this amazing running back. Looking back on that and her insight into poker and this concept of the book, it really made me recall. I remember thinking how crazy it was for him to pick that running play. But then after thinking about it and, you know, hearing some of the stats and some of the reasons why he actually picked it, it made a little bit more sense that the decision itself was actually a good decision. And, you know, she takes that example and then takes it to the next level and says, can you imagine ever asking somebody what were the best decisions and the worst decisions they had? Typically, the best decision has a good result connected to it, and the worst decision has a bad result connected to it. She then pulls that into what she calls resulting, and how we connect our good decisions with good results and our bad decisions with bad results. This is human nature. It really is. You know, as you start to think about it, you're like, yeah, you know, that's right. That makes a lot of sense. It's just the way we think. She uses a couple other examples of this executive. I guess it was like the CEO of this company who had this president of the company. The company was underperforming and they fired him. And then they look back on that as like a really, really bad decision, because at that point, the company started to even underperform even worse than it was before. But when they really broke it down, what the process they had in place to actually make that decision, everyone agreed it seemed very sound. It made perfect sense. With that said, that decision, like a lot of the decisions that we have in our lives, we don't have all the information. And she contrasts that with like a game of chess versus poker, where you don't know what cards are going to come out next. You don't know what the other person's cards are going to have, but you put yourself in the best probability of winning as you can. Where with chess, it's really nothing like life. Everything is right there in front of you. The pawns aren't disappearing, popping back into play. There's no dice. If you lose, you can always look back on the game and all the moves and figure out where you made a mistake. She also, another really interesting example and an insight into, you know, the differences between chess and poker. She says it's 100% possible for someone who never has played the game before to come in and actually beat in a hand of poker, World Series of Poker champion, just because there's so much unknown and there's like a lot of luck and probability involved, where she says it's literally impossible for that to ever happen in the world of chess. So this correlation between poker and how we look at our decisions in our lives and those unknowns and how those parallels really, really resonated with me. I really, really enjoyed her insight and the way she made those parallels. It got me also to thinking like how it relates to our profession and really what we're doing as advisors is we're managing the unknown. You know, if you really think about it, you know, we don't know if the market's going to go up and going down, but we're putting our clients in the best probability of success, putting them in the right strategy, understanding their timelines, but also helping them manage and understand what those probabilities are and setting them up for success based off of what we don't know. So yeah, I think all in all, I thought it was a great book for being in. I really, really enjoyed it. And I thought it was very insightful.
Thanks, John. Kira, what'd you think about the second chapter?
In the second chapter, Wanabet talks about the idea that every single decision can be placed in the framework of it being a bet. So for example, if you're working on a project at work, you can bet on the success or unsuccess of the project. Or for example, like a decision of who to vote for in the presidential election, you can frame that as betting on, you know, one candidate winning versus the other. And when we frame the idea of a decision to be a bet, we are more likely to find more evidence to support our decision, and it forces us to research and assess the decision more. And I really liked that idea. So Duke argues that decisions are essentially wagers on the future, and individuals can allocate resources based on their beliefs about the potential outcome of the decision. She talks about the need to assess probabilities accurately, and that's similar to how poker players evaluate the likelihood of different hands winning. So in actually looking at probabilities, we can make better decisions. And even though probability is not a guarantee, if we make a decision based on probabilities consistently over a long period of time, the success rate is going to be much higher. In the chapter, she also introduced the concept of thinking in bets, which is obviously the title of the book. And it just encourages readers to adopt the probabilistic mindset. And so you're considering multiple possible outcomes when making decisions, but choosing the one that's most probable to occur. And the chapter also talks about how if you focus solely on the outcome without evaluating the quality of the decision-making process, you don't always make the best decision. So you always want to consider the quality and also the multiple different outcomes that could come about. And by prioritizing process over outcomes, individuals can learn and improve regardless of what the result may be from the decision, if you're right or if you're wrong. Overall, the chapter 2 was really good. I also really liked the book overall as well. I think that there's a lot of actionable takeaways from it. I went into this not knowing anything about poker, so some of that was interesting as well. And yeah, that's kind of a summary on chapter 2.
Thanks, Kira. Mark, what were your thoughts on chapter 3, Bet to Learn, Fielding the Unfolding Future?
Yeah, so that chapter, Duke talks about the benefits of outcome fielding, which is learning from the outcomes of your decisions. And what she does is she makes the observation that an expert isn't someone who's just merely experienced, but they're one that's actively reflected on their experience or on, you know, their different outcomes from their different decisions that they make. And she claims that outcomes are feedback. you know, you can look at an outcome and you can kind of attribute that outcome to luck or skill. And what tends to happen with people is what's called self-serving bias is that if it's a good outcome, they tend to attribute it to skill. And if the outcome turned out bad, they attribute it to luck. And in reality, most decisions or most outcomes are a combination of some luck and some skill. And in this chapter, again, she references chess and how chess, someone can go back and look at a game and know exactly why they won or lost. You can tell at some point they probably made a bad decision on a move that they made. Whereas in poker, not all the information is there. And it's hard to go backwards because you could have made the best decision and it turned out bad and vice versa. You could have made a bad decision that turned out okay. And an example she uses for that is someone who runs a red light. You may get through the intersection and not get hit. It's a good outcome. But it was a bad decision that actually led to that. Or vice versa, you could have a green light, go through, and still get hit from someone who went through the red light. You know, what I liked about this chapter and kind of also correlating it to what we do as advisors, this time on the investment side of things, and it's kind of something, an exercise that I've seen before prior to this book, it's look at your investment decisions, how they turned out, and try and trace back and kind of that decision you made to either invest or sell or buy or whatever, you know, on the investment side. And what happened, and obviously at that time you made that decision, you don't know what's going to happen in the future. And there are many different unknowns that can happen, but try to then go back and see, you know, okay, this happened because, you know, and maybe you missed something in the analysis, or maybe, you know, you didn't think about something. And that's just going back to learning from your outcomes. And by learning, you're kind of going through this learning loop where you're constantly learning. And then by doing that, you'll never, you know, weed out all the luck, but, you know, by learning and by gaining more experience over time, you'll be able to, reduce the uncertainty in a lot of our decisions. So yeah, this is another chapter I thought was good. Another one I thought, you know, correlated to what we do, and I can see why it was recommended on a book list for financial advisors.
Yeah. Thanks, Mark. The chapter that I wanted to talk about was chapter 6, Adventures in Mental Time Travel. In this chapter, Duke explores the concept that mental time travel is crucial for decision making. She talks about and gives specific examples how individuals can use certain skills to project themselves into the future and then like look back on how they would have viewed things in the past. And then by using those tools, she was able to like anticipate her opponent's moves when playing poker and strategize accordingly. And some of the different biases that she talks about, she gives a handful of them and then just strategies kind of to go into the past or into the future. But some of them were like, she used the example of how you could think about your retirement, where it's easy to just like use all of your money today and then not really think about how that'll affect you tomorrow. I think like in the book, she used the Seinfeld episode where like Night Jerry is more fun and he has like he stays up all night, he eats, he goes out and does all this. And then in the morning, like he screws his future self. So that's kind of the example that she used there. And then she uses like you could think about scenario planning, which we do a lot in financial planning. Another strategy was, I think she called it pre-mortem, where you think about 1 year into the future and then something went wrong and blew up the entire plan. Like what went wrong and how could we have avoided that? And then another strategy that she talks about is the 10-10-10 method, where you think about what are the consequences of this decision in 10 minutes, 10 months, or 10 years. Those questions will trigger like a mental time travel. But yeah, I really like this chapter. I've never thought about all the things that go into decision making like that. And then I think the last thing that we wanted to talk about was taking one of the things from the book and choosing that and how will we implement that into our lives. Kira, I'll start with you.
Yeah, sure. So just to give you some background, we recently had a guest on the Agent of Wealth podcast named Nick Hutchinson, who is the founder of Book Thinkers. And what he does is he reads a lot of books every year, and he suggests how people can read and implement learnings from their books into their life in a better way. And one way to easily do that is to think of one thing that you learn or read about in a book and actually put pen to paper and decide how you'll implement it into your life. So for me, I think my biggest takeaway and what I found to be most interesting was the concept of making probabilistic decisions. Instead of viewing a decision as a binary choice with fixed outcomes, try to think probabilistically, like looking at the percent that the decision will or will not have a specific outcome and assess the likelihood. So Annie Du talked about that in poker, actually putting percentage to the money, et cetera. But I think you can do that in your own life as well. So that's one thing that I learned and I hope to implement into my life from the book.
Thanks. I liked the 10-10-10 method from the chapter that I was just talking about. The 10-10-10 method is just a decision-making framework, and it lets you think about the consequences in three different time frames. So the short term, the 10 minutes, medium term, 10 months, and then long term, 10 years. So in the short term, you can consider like how it will affect like you immediately afterwards. And essentially, will it have any effect on your short term happiness or not? And then in the medium term, the 10 months, you can think about your medium term future and will you have any regret? Will you regret it over the next few months ahead? And then over the long term decision, you can think about how it will affect like your life, your career, all your different relationships and things that would come up in 10 years. And then by looking at it from those three perspectives, you can think about it from a more comprehensive view of the potential outcomes when you're making the choices. Mark, what was your takeaway?
Yeah, so, and I think she actually devoted a whole chapter to this, was about the buddy system. She started off by talking about the most successful one, which is Alcoholics Anonymous. But she talks about the buddy system in these groups in the context of how being in a group can improve your decision making, because what it does is it basically forces you to explore alternatives. And by doing that, it encourages open-mindedness. It helps combat some of the biases that we talked about. And then what she does is she gives a framework on like what a good group needs to have in it. So it's, you want to have a focus on accuracy over confirmation. Confirmation meaning that, okay, this is what I believe. I'm going to figure out a way how I can prove that my belief is right. And then you want to have accountability, where people are obviously accountable for whatever the kind of the topic or whatever is going to be part of the discussion. And then the most important is that there's an openness or to diversity of ideas. You may go in with your set idea, but you need to be open to listening to why someone may have a different idea. And then what she claims is the person who's more objective will win against the one who's more biased. So one of my takeaways is to find a buddy or find some buddies and create a group to help with decision making.
Nice. And John, what was your takeaway?
I think the one thing that could be helpful, you know, just thinking about all the different concepts in this book and, you know, the way sometimes we tend to really just as human nature to focus on all the things we do know, and not just like with decision-making, but with just forming opinions. I think she talks a little bit about in the book about how there is political leanings in two different directions. And they talked about gun control, but then they talked about like a non-political study of some sort of concept. And in both instances, they compared and there was a huge disparity between bias of that person's political views versus, you know, something that was not political. And I think that just taking the approach just in general of looking at decisions and forming opinions from the idea of like what you don't know versus what you do know. I feel like you cling to those things that you do know because you feel really comfortable with them, and you're just more or less, just when you disagree with someone says something that you disagree with and you're kind of like, well, that can't be true. And it's all based off of what you know. So I just think looking at the certain decisions and just in my chapter that I looked at towards the end, she talks about, you know, what are the things you're not sure of? Instead of like looking at what you do know, the most helpful way for you to look at that decision and draw the line and add to the objectivity of making that decision. It's like, look at what you don't know, and start from there. So that was one of the biggest things I think I took away from it.
Okay. Thanks, Kayla. That just about wraps up today's discussion. If anyone has any questions or wants help in looking at how they can make better financial decisions, we offer a free consultation that you can set up if you go to boutisfinancial.com. On that homepage, there is a button on the top called Schedule a Call. Thanks everyone for tuning in today. Don't forget to follow the Agent of Wealth on the platform you listen from and leave us a review of the show. We're currently accepting new clients, and if you'd like to schedule a one-on-one consultation with our advisors, please do so at boutisfinancial.com/call.
Thank you for listening to the Agent of Wealth podcast. Click the subscribe button below to be notified when new episodes become available. The information covered represents the views and opinions of the guests and does not necessarily represent the views or opinions of Boutis Financial. The content has been made available for informational and educational purposes only and is not intended to be a substitute for professional financial planning and investment advice. Always seek the advice of your financial advisor or other qualified financial service provider with any questions you may have regarding your investments and financial planning.